Every week we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to do that every week. And man, that ought to be exciting. So I tried to put the an outline together to try to get into one Sunday. So we're going to try it one Sunday, all right? There's your outline, and we're going to go through this today. And I just want to share some things with you today about the amazing facts of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This being April the 20th, 2025, I want us to look at this today. And I hope this lesson will be a help and a blessing to you, okay? I want you to pray for my wife. She's under the weather today. She's been up all night. We lost power last night. And the fellow I was supposed to be baptizing today, they called just a little bit ago. They're still without power, so they're not going to get to be here today. But pray for the folks that are sick. Nancy Bittman is now in 420 South, I believe it is, at Forsyth. That's in Winston-Salem. It's where my mom was. She's in Carroll Hospital here. Not sure. It may be a blood clot. Not sure. Don said they're working on things with her. But pray for her. She just had gallbladder surgery on last week. And I didn't want to tell Dave that, but I did. Just did, didn't I? So anyway, he's got surgery tomorrow. I'll be praying for him. And then on Tuesday, Brother Bob Immler, they moved his surgery up from May 1st to April 22nd. And he'll be having open heart surgery. He's not here today, so he can get rested up and make sure he doesn't catch anything and be ready for the surgery on Tuesday morning. And then I want to remind you also, Ron Baker passed away this past week on Wednesday. And I was there with him. We were there with him Thursday of the week prior. They moved him over to hospice or to Dove House. And he passed away on Wednesday morning, about 1:30 in the morning. So I'll be doing his funeral here in Baker next Saturday. Next Saturday. We'll have the memorial service. And he's got one brother and one sister. And I don't know of anybody else in his family still around. His mom's gone. His dad's gone. But I wanted to encourage you, if you get a chance, come by for the service next Saturday. They'll have like a not going to be a viewing time because he got cremated, but just have a time here to fellowship with his family and stuff at 10. The service will be at 11. We'll be done by 12. But if you could be here, you're his family. You're his family. And I found his testimony when he got saved. He got saved when Lou Rossi was here preaching. He got saved during that revival service. I think it was May the 9th, 2012. And he wanted to start coming to the Soul Winners Club training. And he said, I need you to help me write out my testimony. And so I typed that up for him, and I found it this week. And I put that in the bulletin we've made for him, and we're going to have that all in there, and it'll bless your heart. And I tell you, heaven is getting sweeter every day. We've had so many folks from our class and from our church, and I got Ed Mahler's funeral on Tuesday. Kim Bowers, that used to come here, her father passed away. 1 week after I led him to Christ, he passed away, and I'll be doing his funeral tomorrow at Garrison Forest. It's a military funeral. We'll be doing it down there tomorrow, and we'll have Ron's funeral on Saturday, Ed's on Tuesday, so just pray for the families in our church, and remind them we got a risen Savior, and because Jesus lives, we're going to live with him. Amen. That's the blessed thought today, all right? Let's take a look at the lesson today. I want it to be a help and a blessing to you, and I think it will be. I'm going to go ahead and give you a copy now so I don't forget it, because my mind's kind of crazy today. I want you to look at this, the amazing facts of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to share this thought with you today. In Luke chapter 24, verse 34, the Bible said, "The Lord is risen indeed." And I want you to think about this morning. The little pins that we gave you this morning, we took that from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse number 6. And it reminds us, he is not here. They went looking for him at the grave. They couldn't find him. The tomb was open. The tomb was empty. And they thought, oh my goodness, somebody has stolen his body away. No, he's risen as he said. Amen. And we want to remind you of that today. I want us to look at this, and I want to begin the lesson today by going back to the day of crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. And I want us to look at this today in the book of Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter number 23, we're going to start in verse number 44. And here's what the Bible said. And it was about the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The morning starts at 6 a.m., okay? And the sixth hour of the day was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. I'm sorry, the sixth hour is noontime. I'm sorry. The sixth hour would be noontime. From 6 o'clock until 12 o'clock, that would be the sixth hour. And for 3 hours, from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was darkness on the face of the earth. Now, they had crucified Jesus at the third hour of the day. What time would that be? 9 o'clock in the morning, yeah. And he was on the cross, and the Bible said the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now after this, in these verses, we see that the fact of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, it was real, folks. The crucifixion was real. If you saw this week in Living Cross, you saw a depiction of what it may have been like, but it's nothing compared to the factual thing, the real thing. The Bible said that his visage was so marred that he did not even resemble a man. He was beaten to a pulp, and it was all done for you and for me. And it happened. It changed history. And there were many in that day who witnessed that incredible event. Many folks watched. They saw. They stood there for those 6 hours. And they watched him hang upon that cross and suffer and bleed and die so that you and I could have redemption for our sins. He suffered the pangs of death. He suffered. He was tormented by thirst. Just a single drop, he begged for thirst for water upon the cross. He suffered being separated from God the Father. He suffered, and he was in total darkness upon the cross from noon until 3 o'clock that afternoon. He suffered everything that a person that dies without Christ and enters it for eternity into the place called hell, that what they're going to suffer. He suffered it all. The pain, the anguish, the loneliness. He was forsaken. And as the perfect and the holy sacrifice which God demanded for sin, God demanded a perfect sacrifice for sin. As that sacrifice, the precious blood of the sinless Lamb of God was drained from his body. And there, without spot or blemish, that Lamb of God shed his blood for your sins and for mine. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And folks, when I think about what Christ did for me, I stand here feeling so undeserving. Man, I don't deserve what Christ has done for me. And neither do you. None of us do today. And you know, just before he died, he cried out for all to hear, "It is finished." God's plan of salvation was finished. Reminds me of what the author of the book of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, where we are commanded there, we're exhorted there to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where he's at today, making intercession for you and for me today. Now, folks, I want you to think about it. A dead Savior couldn't do that, amen? A dead Savior can't do that. Out of all the thousands, and there are literally more than 4,000 different religions all across the face of this earth, but none of them has a risen Savior, amen? Nobody but you and I. Those of us who know Christ as our Savior, we serve a risen Savior today. Amen. And boy, that ought to bring joy to our hearts. And it's for that reason, so many more, that the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is so very important to us today. I want you to turn back with me just a moment to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Now remember, these people only had the Old Testament scriptures. And many Jewish people today don't, they're told, don't read Isaiah chapter 53. You don't need to read that. And you know what? That's a lie from the devil. Because in Isaiah chapter 53, we read what Jesus did for us. Isaiah spoke of it. He foretold what Christ was coming to do. And I want you to look at verses 10 and 11. It has never been God's will that sin separate sinful man from holy God. God's will, the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that it is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to come to that point where they repent of their sin and accept their son, His Son, the Lord Jesus, as their Savior. And I want you to look at this. As you read in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, I don't have time to read it all this morning, but you come down to verse number 10. After you read all that Christ did for us and how he suffered, he was offered as that Lamb of God. Verse number 10 said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." It pleased the Lord. This was not something that was an accident. This was a plan. It was a plan from God for you and for me. And I've told you this several times before, but I helped deliver both my children. I wanted to be there from start to finish, amen? I wanted to be there. And I was there. I helped deliver both of those children. And I watched as my wife suffered to bring those children into this world. And you know what? It made me love my wife more than I ever loved her before. And when they brought those little babies, and the doctor said, "Now, you can go ahead, you can cut the umbilical cord," and I did all that, and they wrapped them all up. They wrapped her up. The first one was a girl, and the second one was a boy. Wrapped them all up, and they laid that child on my wife's breast there. You know what? The sorrow was gone. The weeping was gone. And there was nothing but joy from that point forward. And folks, the Bible said that even though Christ suffered all these things and God allowed His Son to go through all these things, to be rejected at the hands of man, wicked men, all the things that He went through, the Bible said, yet it pleased the Lord. That word "pleased" meant it satisfied what God required. it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And Isaiah wrote this. He said, and when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he, God, the Lord God Jehovah, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Every time you see that word Lord in all caps like that in the Bible, that is the Lord God Jehovah. That's who he's talking about. And the pleasure of the Lord God Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be what? Satisfied. Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's why Jesus, while hanging on that cross, he looked up to his Father and said, Father, it is finished. And God looked down and said, Son, I'm satisfied. Amen. And God rent the veil in the temple, the wall of separation that had been there before was now made open. The door was open for all men, all women, all boys, all girls, anybody to come to the redemption power of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Listen, God was pleased with this. Jesus Christ came into this world to do the will of his Father. He told Pilate, and he told Herod, he said, listen, my kingdom's not of this earth. I could call legions of angels. They could come deliver me, but that's not the will of my Father. And Jesus went to the cross, and he willingly did it all for you and for me. Matthew 18:11. Now, if you have one of these new versions of the Bible, you won't find that verse in there. It's not there. But it says this, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. That's the reason Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to give you chocolate Easter eggs, okay? All right? He didn't come to make the Easter bunny your main focus, okay? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? And if you go over the book of Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, when Zacchaeus got saved, Jesus made this statement in Luke 19:10. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for you and he came for me. Amen? That's what it's all about. And let me ask you, what good does it do for God to allow us to know the fact that he loves us and he wants us to live with him for all eternity, and for us to know that Jesus died for us to forever pay that debt of sin and to give us everlasting joy and hope for the future, and yet we only have a dead Savior. We'd only have a dead Jesus. What good would that be? It wouldn't be any good at all. You see, there'd be no joy. But man, my joy today is in a risen Savior. Amen. He's risen today. And he did it for me. He did it for you. I listened this morning. I took the dog out and I was walking her and letting her do her thing. And I was listening to all the birds out there singing this morning. And I thought, last night, the storm came. We had trees down across 27 last night. They had to come out and cut down trees, and it blocked up the road and everything last night. And power went out and all this stuff. Power came back on, and through the stormy night, man, it was dark, it was lightning, it was thundering, the ground was shaking. My little dog, bless her heart, she was sitting up in our lap just trembling, shaking for fear of the storm last night. And I thought about that verse in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I was out there walking that dog this morning, and all the birds were out there singing. And I had a shouting spell. And I thought, man, even the birds know that Jesus is alive today. Amen? Amen. and they're singing praises to God's name today. They've got joy. Listen, what joy would there be if we had a dead Savior? Wouldn't be any joy. Wouldn't be any happiness. There wouldn't be any eternal life. Wouldn't be anything like that that we've got. And folks, it is for that reason. And again, so many more reasons. The amazing fact of the resurrection is so important today. I'll be preaching this afternoon again over at the rest home. And I left those folks on Wednesday with Jesus in the tomb. Okay? I had my flannel graph up there and I had Jesus taken off the cross and put in the tomb. I had the Roman guards on the picture thing guarding the tomb. And they were sitting there thinking, oh, that's so sad. And I said, but wait, there's more. There's more. And I said, if you'll come back on Sunday at 1:30, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. And man, they were all excited about it. And I'm hoping, man, we're going to have a crowd there at the rest home today. And we're going to give them the lapel pins and the books and everything too. So whatever's left, that I want to take those to them. So make sure I get those back. But listen, there's so much today to be excited about. Because we got a risen Savior. Now that's my introduction. Let's get to the lesson, all right? Man, it's good. I told you I was going to try to do this in 1 week, and I just can't do it. But I'm going to leave you the outline, and then you can go back and study the rest of it, all right? The facts. The amazing facts of the resurrection. I want you to understand. There's a lot of folks today that deny, they reject the facts. They reject the truth of the Word of God. They reject that we have a living Savior. They deny that Jesus ever died on the cross. They deny all that He's ever done for us. But honey, I got a book here that shows us the facts. Amen. And I want to share with you this morning the facts of the resurrection. Number one, fact number one, the Roman soldiers knew and they reported the facts of the resurrection. Now, if you'll remember in our play this week, they're sitting there with their bags of money. And Brother Comstock, as one of the soldiers, he's sitting there holding those bags of money. He said, well, here we are today. And all we had to do was guard a tomb with a dead body in it for 3 days and three nights. And we utterly failed. They utterly failed. You know why? Because the Roman soldiers knew that Jesus arose again. Oh, listen, they paid them money. Sounds like our political world today. They pay you money to reject truth. And folks think, oh man, look at all the money I got. What good is that money going to do you when you die and go to hell? You came in this world naked as a jaybird, and you're going to leave it the same way without Jesus. Listen to me. The soldiers knew. Look at it with me here in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter number 27. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he's risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, and look at this, make it as sure as you can. In other words, Pilate's saying, he's innocent. But you just go and do what you think you can do. You make it as sure as you can make it. And then look what he said. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now go to the next chapter, chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, let me stop right there just a minute. The angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled back the stone, not so Jesus could get out, but so the ladies could get in. Amen. Because he was already risen. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Read on. Read on. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, that's the Roman soldiers that were guarding the tomb, that made it as sure as they could, they did shake and became as dead men. In other words, they screamed like little girls and they fell to the ground like dead men. Same chapter. Go down to verse number 11. Now while they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now think about this a minute. If they were to tell that, they're signing their own death warrant. They fell asleep on their job. They would be put to death for that. So the Pharisees didn't care. All they wanted to do was promote a lie and cause people to reject truth. They gave them big money to do that. And listen to what they said. They said, and we know that you could get killed for this. So they said, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. In other words, we'll pay him off too, and we'll secure you. You just keep the cash. Keep the gold. Keep it all. We'll take care of you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Folks, the fact is the Roman soldiers knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. They knew it. Look at this. The soldiers knew the command that they had been given to carry out and fulfill. They knew what they were supposed to do. They knew what they were to do. But they took the money and they ran. Look at this. The soldiers knew what they had seen and they experienced. When you read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 4, and then you go back down to verses 11 through 15, they came back and told the Pharisees and told all the council exactly what happened. And man, they got paid to go and tell a lie, to deny truth. Can you imagine? I wonder how many of those guys went crazy in their mind. Because they knew that Jesus was real, but they had been paid to spread the lies. I wonder how many of those may have said, you know what? Fooey on this money, and they threw it all away like Judas did. Judas came back and gave the money back, threw it on the temple floor, and they bought a potter's field with it to bury the dead man. Judas realized what he had done wrong. These soldiers realized what they had done wrong. But not only did the soldiers know the facts, but they reported the facts. They went and they reported those facts. They were told to tell a lie. And that's what they did. And it was commonly reported among all the Jews that this is what happened. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The Roman soldiers knew the truth. They knew the facts. Fact number two is this. The women at the tomb knew and they reported the facts of the resurrection. Look at this. Matthew chapter 28 verses 1 through 10. Again, you get down in here and the angel, the Bible said here, and for fear of the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. But look what he said. He's not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And the angel invited them into the empty tomb. And when they got inside the tomb, look at what the Bible said the angel told them. He said, now you go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Man, those ladies went, and they went with fear, and yet they went with joy. Amen. You ever been that way? You've been scared to death about something, but you're just so excited you just couldn't help but tell somebody? That's what happened. These women had come to that tomb expecting to find the body of Jesus still in there. How do you know that, preacher? Because they went in with the stuff to anoint his dead body. They could not do it and get it all done before the Sabbath day started at 6 p.m. They didn't have time. So they waited those 3 days and those 3 nights, and they were going to come back in and do it. They went there expecting him. And those women thought along the way, well, who's going to open the tomb for us? And God says, got you covered, ladies. Got you covered. Angel, get down there and open that tomb for them. He goes down with a great earthquake, the Bible said, and he rolls back the stone. The Romans fall down like dead men. The ladies are there going, oh, and the angel says, fear not, come on in. He's not here. I know who you're looking for. Come in and look. He's not here. And they left out with great joy. And when those women found out that the tomb was empty and Jesus was alive, they ran back to tell the disciples. When have you ever been excited enough to run and tell somebody about Jesus? Amen. Man, we ought to get excited about a Savior that's alive and well today. I don't have time to cover all the verses. I've got them there in your outline. But go back and look at those verses this week. Take time to look at the joy, the excitement that these folks had because they knew the facts. And the facts were, Jesus was alive. But fact number three was this. The disciples of Jesus Christ knew the facts. They had heard it from the ladies. And yet they chose to doubt the facts. They chose to doubt it. Look with me at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I want you to look at verses 10 and 11. The Bible said it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were there with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be as idle tales, and they believed them not. The question that immediately came to my mind was, why in the world, after Jesus had told them, and now the angel had told the women, and the women go and tell these men, why in the world would they not believe the words of these ladies? Why would they not believe that Jesus had risen? They were the closest friends to Christ. Why would they choose to reject the facts? Why would they choose not to believe? Can I tell you why I personally think that they chose not to believe? Just personally thinking. They forgot the words of Christ. You know what? I meet folks every day that are so defeated, and they claim to be Christians, and they're defeated all the time. Sin has got them so far down. And they say, preacher, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just don't know. Well, are you reading your Bible? Well, I hadn't read my Bible in a long time. You know what? We forget the Word of God. And the Word of God is our strength today, folks. The words of Christ, they had forgotten His promises. They had seen the crucifixion. They had seen Him beaten and suffering and mocked and ridiculed. The whole band of soldiers mocking Him and railing on Him and doing all that they did against Him. Remember, again, a band is 1/10 of a legion of soldiers. And a legion of soldiers is anywhere between 4,000 and 6,000 men. So that means they're in the hall when that band of soldiers were there, between 400 and 600 soldiers railed upon Jesus and beat Him, spit upon Him. beat him, smote him in the face, blindfolded him, and said, "Now prophesy who it is that hit you." They had scourged him. They took that cat of nine tails and beat him, literally, to a pulp, tore his flesh all to pieces. They had taken that crown of thorns and placed it on his head and then beat him with the reed upon his head, put that robe upon him and mocked him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and just laughed and carried on. The disciples had seen all that. They saw the anger that was taken out on the Savior, and they feared. They were afraid, and they doubted that anybody could ever survive someone. That's why they were hiding in the upper room, for fear of the Romans, that they were going to be done the same way. They were afraid. And after seeing all that had happened to Jesus, they did not truly believe that Jesus or anybody else could ever come back from the dead after going through what they had seen him go through. And folks, I want you to go back to Isaiah chapter 52 just a moment. Isaiah chapter number 52 and verse 14. Isaiah wrote ahead of time. He said, "As many were astonished at thee," they were amazed at him when they saw him, "his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." They didn't recognize him. And when they took that bloody, beaten pulp of flesh off that cross and wrapped it in those linens and laid it in a tomb, they said, "There's no way that he could ever come back from that. No way." Mark chapter 16, verses 11 through 14 says this, "And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he had appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." You say, "Well, preacher, I just can't believe it. They didn't believe." Well, let me ask you something. How many times do you and I choose not to believe God's word? "Oh, I don't know if God could answer my prayers or not." Man, I have seen God do miraculous things in our lives. When we didn't know where money was going to come from, when we didn't know where a bill was going to be coming from. Man, listen, I had one of my bus kids, hadn't seen in years. We've been here almost 14 years. I haven't seen him in years. He's working in Texas as a FedEx driver. And he sent me a text the other day thanking me for telling him about Jesus. And the next thing I knew, I got a little Zelle note. And he had sent us some money. Now, he did not know I had a need for something. He didn't know. I hadn't seen him. But my Heavenly Father knew. And you know what? That boy sent me that note, and I sent him a note back. I said, "Did you send this to me by mistake?" He said, "No." He said, "I was just driving down the road, and you came across my mind. And I just wanted to thank you for telling me about Jesus as a bus kid." We helped him go through Christian college, got him in, and now the Lord's blessed him, and he said, "I just wanted to say thank you." And I thought, what a Savior. Why do you and I choose not to believe the one who promised in his word that I'll never leave you nor forsake you? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Why do we choose? For fear. For fear of the Romans. That's what they did. We fear everybody else. We fear family. Man, we fear our friends. Change friends. Get new friends, okay? And then y'all believe together, okay? We change because we don't trust God because of our jobs. Well, if I say something about Jesus, man, they're going to fire me. Well, you know what? These folks, they were persecuted on every side. They had to move to other locations, and yet everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. Why? Because they knew the facts of the resurrection. Amen? Amen. Now, I don't have time to go through here and tell you the rest of this stuff. You're going to have to go through this week. But I want you to look at number four. Others had hoped that the words of Christ were true, but they did not yet know the facts. If you'll read chapter 24 of the book of Luke, I'm going to tell you, it will stir your heart. Because when they recognized who Jesus was, He opened up their understanding. And when He disappeared out of their sights, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when He gave us the Scriptures, when He opened unto us the Scriptures? And they left and went another 7.5 miles back to tell the brethren in the upper room, He's alive. And they didn't believe Him there. Listen, number five, for those who wanted to know the facts, Jesus opened their understanding to the facts. And folks, I'm so glad that one day I wanted to know the facts. I wanted to know that somebody loved me and cared for my soul. And God opened up that understanding, and I trusted Him as my Savior. Man, what a Savior today. And in fact, number six, those who learned of and believed the facts also proclaimed the facts. Look at Luke chapter 24, verses 33 through 35, real quick. Those two traveling on the road to Emmaus, after Jesus disappeared from their sight, the Bible said they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. And if you go over to the book of Mark, chapter 16, just like the disciples who had been hiding in the upper room and all the others through the years who have learned and believed the facts, the Bible said in Mark chapter 16, verses 19 and 20, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Folks, the resurrection is real today. Amen. And I wanted to have you have a little gift. And that's why I want you today. Don't you be ashamed of what Jesus has done for you. Amen. Go and tell somebody He's alive today. Amen. Oh, I can't read that. Can you read that for me? Yeah, He's not here. He's risen, as He said. Let's go and tell somebody today, so that they can come to know Him as their Savior as well. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I know my time has been short. Good night. I've been trying so hard to get it all in. But Father, thank You. Thank You for being a risen Savior. Thank You, dear God, today that we can have the joy of the resurrection in our hearts and our souls today. Oh, God, please help us to not be ashamed to go out and tell others about what Christ has done for us. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. Well, thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being here on Resurrection Sunday. Amen.